All right. Hey, family, family. Let me kick up my notes, y'all. All right. Hey, family, family. Welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is all about the total woman. My name is Samantha Grimes. I am a wife, a mom of two, a senior pastor, a certified life strategist, prophetess, and founder of Daughter LLC, a private practice and women's ministry and movement that offers a wide variety of services such as coaching, Christian counseling, products, books, and above all, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to his daughters. If you are interested in a free consultation to answer any questions, or to get a quote, or you want to go ahead and book a one-on-one session, a group service, or anything we have to offer, first feel free to head to our website at www.daughterllc.com, or you can email us directly at samantha.grimescc@gmail.com, or direct message us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok at Daughter HSV. Also, if you would like to book me for a ministry engagement, you can also email me at samantha.grimescc@gmail.com or head to our Instagram at Daughter HSV. And if you click the ministry, click the link in my bio, there is a ministry request form in that link tree. Amen and amen. So family, I am so excited about this particular podcast episode. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. And then I'm going to get it. If you're watching and not listening, then you can probably see that there's somebody else here with me on this. So you already know where we're going, but I'm going to open us up with prayer and then we're going to get into today's podcast episode. Amen and amen. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We honor you. We bless the name of the Lord, Father. We thank you for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness, Father. We thank you, God, for your heart. We thank you that there is nobody like you in all of the earth. No one as good to us, as kind to us, as the one that keeps us, no one that sustains us, Father God, no one that carries us like you do. And Father, we honor you. We exalt you. We glorify and magnify the name of the Lord. And right now, Father, we invite the Holy Spirit into this podcast. Father, this podcast is pointless without the Spirit of God. It is your Spirit, Father God, that causes it to come alive. It is your Spirit that causes us to say the things that need to be said. It is your Spirit that creates impact, that changes lives, that renews minds, oh God. And so right now, Father, I pray for your supernatural anointing and grace to rest upon this podcast. Father, I pray, God, that you will rest upon me as well as your daughter, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I just decree and declare that every word that comes out of my mouth, Father God, in this podcast episode be your words and not our own. Let every person that watches this, Father, whether they watch it when it first comes out or watches it years down the line, Father, let them be supernaturally impacted. Let their hearts change, their minds change, and let it change the way in which that they do life. Father, I pray now that you get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, and that we will all come back into the greater revelation that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, family. So this is episode, I want to say this is episode 5. I could be wrong, but I think this is episode 5. If I'm not, then just give me grace. But... Yes, so this is our newest episode. You guys, you know, we are in our season theme, which is the power of a woman. That is our season theme. And I am so excited. So today we have a special guest joining us. Our episode topic for today is the power of a gracious woman. This is something I don't hear talked about. I don't hear discussed. If we're honest, it could be the power of a gracious person. Really, but because we're focused in on women, we just gonna leave it right there. But I think we all need to grab hold of this truth, this reality. And so I'm super excited about it. And so I have a special guest. I'm gonna open up and read her bio for you guys. And then I'm going to let her come in. You guys, I'm gonna be honest, I am so excited about this guest. Y'all, I adore her. I watch her sermons that she preaches at the church she leads with her husband. My last interview I had with her, I go back and rewatch it to encourage myself in the Lord. Y'all, she is such a powerhouse, so anointed. And as much as I plan to talk and share, which y'all know I probably will, I'm really excited to just listen and learn. That's really what I want to do. And so I want you guys to do that with me. But yes, we have Apostle Angela Smith, right? Angela felt the call of God from a young age of 8 At the age of 17, it was obvious to her that she had no choice but to answer the call, but had no idea of what all that would encompass. At the age of 17, she had a glory encounter with the Lord in her bedroom. Immediately after the summer encounter with Jesus, she began international seminary. She began to learn the word of God and serve her local church. Following international seminary, she began her bachelor's degree studies. After graduating with a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Louisiana, she had the privilege of attending Valor Christian College, formerly known as World Harvest Bible College. Attending Bible College was a lifelong dream of hers. During her journey through Bible College, she was miraculously healed of cancer by the power of Jesus. Hey, Angela is a firm believer in the healing, delivering, and life-altering glory of God. She understands the importance of releasing the heart of God to her generation through intercession and demonstration. After completing her pastoral leadership studies, she was ordained and licensed into the ministry. Prophetess Angela Smith has traveled nationally and internationally, preaching and teaching the word of God. She is the co-founder of Heart of God Ministries, along with her husband, Apostle James Smith, in Columbus, Ohio. She is the founder of Women of Heart Ministries, where she weekly trains women in discipleship. Her apostolic covering is Apostle Brandon Cornelius and Prophetess Denise Cornelius. She is the proud mother of two amazing miracle children. Bless the Lord. Her passion is to see her generation encounter Jesus in a real way. Her prayer is to be remembered as a woman who loved Jesus and served the kingdom of God. Amen, amen. Welcome, Apostle. Apostle Angela.
Thank you so much, Prophetess. It is such an honor just to be here today. I've been anticipating this time, and I'm just so thankful for another opportunity just to sit with you. I haven't had the opportunity as of yet, and I will insert that as of yet, to meet you in person that I know of. Yeah. But I know that that time is coming, and I just want to honor you and your husband, your church family, and everything that you are doing in the kingdom of God wholeheartedly with a pure heart. The impact that you are making, that you see and that you don't see, is life-giving to men and women of God. And I'm so thankful that you created, out of your obedience to the Father, a space where women can be heard, but also that they can listen, so they can be coached into who they truly are called to be. So this is a treasure moment for me. And I didn't want to get carried away without saying this is a moment that I treasure, and I am completely honored and thankful for this moment with you. And I'm just as excited to listen to what God has on your heart, because that gives me strength and courage in more ways than you will ever know. So thank you. I honor your husband and your family that sacrifice so you can have moments like this. So thank you. You are beautiful, both inside and out. And I just thank God for your life and for placing you in the kingdom for such a time as this.
Yes. Glory to God. You're going to have me.
We need it.
We haven't even, started talking.
We need it.
If y'all know me, they already know I'm a waterhead. Okay. I have broke out in tears plenty of times in my, in my preaching and teaching. And so, So guys, today we are talking about the power of a gracious woman. I really wanted to talk about this. It's not a secret, you guys. I really believe in kindness. I really do. And, just being very transparent, I didn't, and it's no shade to my mother. I honor my mother and my family, but just in general, I don't know a lot of women that got a lot of teaching on how to carry themselves in that way. And I see in the body of Christ, as much as Jesus was meek and lowly in heart, and you know, he was patient and he was kind, I don't always see a lot of fruit of that in the body of Christ when it comes to how we are with each other. You know what I mean? We don't necessarily even have a grasp or an understanding of graciousness. And we are in a generation that believes the meaner you are, the more powerful you are. The meaner you are, the more anointed that you are. And so sometimes your kindness, which is actually what it means to walk like Christ and to love people, makes people question whether you're truly that oily or that anointed or that whatever, when in actuality, that is actually somebody that should be the fruit of somebody living for Christ, that I can be under this anointing. And yes, what I'm saying might be cutting you a little bit because it's convicting, but I'm not talking to you like you are less than an image bearer of Christ Jesus. And so I really wanted to have this conversation, and I just really felt a call to have this conversation here with my sister in Christ. And I just believe that there is some truth that she's going to share that is going to really radically change the way that you view how we should live life as not just people of God, but as women of God. So first question, woman of God, what actually is a gracious woman?
A gracious woman. Mm-hmm. So I want to share a scripture to start off, and it's Psalm 112 and 4. Because mm-hmm. I find that when we reference scriptures, we're more likely to remember the word yeah. that's being spoken. And the scripture says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Mm-hmm. For those who are gracious and compassionate mm-hmm. and righteous. Gracious, compassionate, and righteous. So when yeah. I think about a gracious woman, I think about a merciful woman. And I love that you paired power with grace.
Yeah.
Because yeah. many times it's almost like Dr. Jekyll, Mrs. Hyde. It's yes. like the expectation is, right? You go yeah. right on stage as one person, mm-hmm. come on, and mm-hmm. then you come off the stage and then you become another person. Yeah. But what I love about power and grace, it exemplifies the very being of who God is. Mm-hmm. And one thing on the forefront as a woman is that we should be merciful. Mm-hmm. Merciful in times where we don't want to give mercy. Come on. Merciful in the difficult times. Mm-hmm. Merciful in the uncomfortable times.
Yeah.
To be gracious is to be courteous, kind, and pleasant. So yes. that means in every area of my life, if I profess to be a woman of God, we're not even talking about serving, right? In fivefold mm-hmm. ministry, I just say I am a follower of Jesus. I am a believer. The forefront of my attitude, I should be pleasant. I should be courteous. And mm-hmm. I should be kind. And I want to mm-hmm. say something out the gate about the anointing. And I may be getting ahead of myself. But yeah. the anointing makes me more courteous, more pleasant, and more kind. So walking under the anointing does not cause my speech to become distasteful or mm-hmm. that my attitude, right, to be mm-hmm. haughty. I still should show the image of Jesus. If mm-hmm. Jesus can wash feet, come on, mm-hmm. then yeah. I can wash feet, right?
Then I can wash feet.
Yeah. So if I am looking at the image of my Father who has bestowed so much grace to me, that means mm-hmm. I want to be courteous. I want to be kind and I want to be pleasant because I want to draw people to him. And when I draw people to him, it's not just only about evangelism and about salvation and drawing people to him. I want to mm-hmm. be able to sustain a relationship mm-hmm. with my sister and with my brother, where I'm courteous, right? Where I'm pleasant mm-hmm. and where I'm kind to them. So yeah. it has to be a part of who we are, not something that we do, but something that we allow God to build on the inside of us. And I mm-hmm. think a key that we don't always unlock when it comes to walking in power. mm-hmm. Being a gracious woman is showing divine grace. And it's used of royalty of the way that we act, right? So the Bible says that we are kings and priests.
Yeah.
And when you walk in grace, you are actually fulfilling your assignment to be the royal woman that you're called to be, because royal women are not haughty women. Mm. Royal women yeah. real relationships. And I share this often. Sometimes we come in contact with specific women, and it's okay because, you know, we learn and we grow in grace as we walk with the Father. And they say, you know, I don't have, you know, any female friends. All of my, you know, my friends are male. And that's a conversation that we can have. Like, what is the trepidation with embarking on a relationship with another woman? Have you not been shown kindness, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Have you not had yeah. a pleasant experience? So I know a lot of times we use this term first lady. Whatever term you like is fine with me. You know, first lady, pastor, apostle, prophetess. But we mm-hmm. have to lead in the forefront and be the most courteous. I mm-hmm. should be the most courteous in the room. I should be the most pleasant in the room. I should be the most kind in the room. And I should be at the head of serving, because I should be at a maturity level to understand that grace should be exemplified through the way that I carry myself and the way that I steward my relationships. Yeah. Because we can begin relationships. How many relationships that have started in grace but either mm-hmm. ended prematurely or was suspended, you know, early or terminated because we weren't courteous, we weren't kind. Come on, we weren't pleasant, we're not Ooh. Welcoming. Oh, just hospitality, you know? It's not mm-hmm. the seven spirits of God. Are we hospitable? Would I want to, after experiencing you initially, would I want to sit at home with you and have a cup of tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So it's not, prophetess, it's not always the dialogue of scripture, because that will remain truth. But mm-hmm. one thing that will testify the loudest is the epistle that is being read by men, because people will read you before you start preaching, because they're going to read the way that you treat people. That's really the story that is being told to them in real time. So I may be a phenomenal speaker, a yep. phenomenal communicator, an Absolutely. Amazing leader, but my foundation has to be grace.
Yeah. You know, I really think a lack of graciousness, it exposes our roots.
Yeah.
It exposes what you're rooted in, because, you know, when it comes to society, your value is attached to your pedigree, you yeah. know, and well, not truly, but that's how the world operates. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we have all these, you know, we just see on, you know, TV and movies, highfalutin, wealthy people. They come from a lot of money, come from good school, come from good pedigree. And there's nothing wrong with coming from money. That's yeah. not the problem. But the problem is, you know, when your roots are tied solely to that sometimes, and now it shows up in your attitude. I actually believe I'm superior to you. I'm blinded to the value that you bring into my life. And a lack of graciousness reveals that you don't actually see God's people as God's people. Mm. Like, this is an image bearer. I don't need another reason to be kind to you. I don't need you to be doing something for me, making me look good, bringing something into my life. You could be homeless. You could be broke. You could be nasty. And yeah. you are still my brother in Christ, and you are still an image bearer of Christ. That is all that I need. Yeah. A preacher once said, you know, back in college, and this had stuck with me ever since then. He did a grand sermon. It was powerful. And in the end, he said, the most valuable thing to the Lord is not his streets of gold. Yeah. And it is not his many mansions in heaven. It is his people. And so if I'm actually a Christian and my consideration is what God thinks, not what I think, not what my pastor thinks, not what the community I like to hang around thinks, but what God thinks, then that's going to open the door to me to see people in a light that I normally wouldn't see them in, right? Yes. Or even if I don't physically see it or feel it, it is a decision that I make, because this is who I am. And I love that you highlighted that, like, graciousness is, it is about who you are. And a lot of us have not let God do the internal work in our heart to cause that to be our default mode. So what we're giving is an image. It's almost fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Let me just be super nice. But in my mind, I'm thinking these nasty thoughts about you. I'm judging you. I'm, you know, casting you off. But when God has done my heart, man, I know I actually love you. And my love for you is not contingent upon if you love me back.
Yeah. Biblically, grace, it's going to reveal the heart of God.
Yeah.
Truly. Because he's so gracious to us. And if you want to know, if you carry his heart,
yeah,
the amount of grace that you extend to others, and even the amount of grace that you extend to yourself when you let yourself down, will speak of the value of you and the value of those that are in your community. And that grace is favor that is freely given. And I think we've misrepresented the simplicity. We were kind of talking about that earlier of grace. It's something that God gives us. He's like, hey, I'm giving you this favor. I'm giving you this grace. And what we have to remember is whatever task that God has in front of us, whatever assignment that he's called us to do and to walk in this life, whether it's in the marketplace, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in ministry, if you're a stay-at-home mom, right? All those things, he's given us a measure of grace to be able to walk in those areas in excellence. And a lot of times, prophetess, in the natural, it doesn't seem possible. Like, Lord, how, you know, can I have enough grace to be able to accomplish every assignment that you have for me? And what the Lord has shown me and continues to show me is that it's supernatural.
Oh, I think it's you froze.
Oh, let me know when I'm back up.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah.
You're back. Yeah.
He said, the Lord said, it's supernatural. So in the natural, Angela, in your planner, this doesn't fit and this doesn't work, right? But if you depend on me and you receive my gift of grace, it's supernatural. Mm-hmm. And you can get more accomplished with grace than grit. And I think as a people, we are always leaning towards hard work, which I honor and which is commendable. But there is a grace to get hard work done with supernatural momentum that we receive freely from the Lord. And I think as women of God, we need to present that more, because we look at people that mentor us, or we look at people that are successful, and we think about, these are the 10 steps or these are the 5 steps that I'm going to be able to do within myself to be able to accomplish these tasks. Maybe so. But what's most important is that we understand that it's not just the natural work, it's the supernatural grace that's on those natural steps that actually causes us to produce fruit, that causes us to multiply, right? And so we grow in grace. The more that we position ourselves to receive, the more we begin to grow in grace. Grace is steadfast and grace is covenantal. When I heard that, I said, oh my God, like, you are in covenant with your father. You are in covenant with your father that has given you the gift of grace. So as long as you are in covenant with him, you have access to fulfill that powerful, divine, world-changing assignment. So as long as I'm connected, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't break his covenant with us. He keeps his covenant with us. And part of that covenant is the gift of favor and the gift of grace. I'm not where I am because I did something per se special. What I did was, the Lord said, daughter, the revelation is I'm in covenant with you. And because I'm in covenant with you, I'm giving you the gift of grace and favor to accomplish every single thing that I've placed on you to accomplish. That's it. That's it. And we have to receive, like, receive the grace, receive the favor. I don't know. I'm going to go here. Some of us are great givers. We are great pourers, right? Mm-hmm. We can see a need. Come on, we're prophetic and we can discern this is broken. There's a wound here. There's an empty space here. Some of my background is visual merchandising. So I'm really good at walking in the room and seeing what's missing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm the same way in the spirit. I'm really sensitive to that. And the Lord had to take me through these past 2 years and show me, prophetess, in real time. He said, mm-hmm. You are a great pourer. You are a great planter. You are a great planner. If prophetess Samantha gives you an assignment, you already have your notebook with prophetess Samantha on the notebook and you're ready to go. But you have to also understand that there are times where it's time for you to be able to receive. And the same value you place on your peers, the same value you place on those in your community. I want you to know the grace that you forgive and the excuses that sometimes you make for people. They didn't mean it. And I forgive and we're going to move on. You make sure you offer yourself that gift that I've given you as well. What's dangerous is that we take the disappointment of past failures into our next season of grace. God said, no, wherever you fail or wherever you've missed, you've learned from it, you've received mm-hmm. revelation, but there is fresh grace. And even if there is the same assignment that you're facing over again, there is fresh grace because you're growing in grace to be able to accomplish what Christ has put on us. So at the end of the day, whether I'm a 1 week old Christian, a 1 year old Christian, or I've been in the faith for decades, I have to learn how to depend on him for grace and how to grow in the grace that he's given me and to receive. Sometimes we're praying, God, I really want to get this done. And he's like, I'm trying to give you grace. I'm trying to give you strategy. I'm trying to give you a friend. Some of us don't even want a new friend. Like I have my same six on my same three. God is like, I'm trying to give you a new friend that has everything that you need. Prophetess, the Lord, we are the body, which is powerful. The Lord will not always give you every part of your vision and develop everything about your vision on the inside of you. Sometimes he'll give you someone to connect with you to come be on. Able to have that missing piece. And we can't be stubborn and make it about only our self-development that we don't connect and say, you know what? I need you. I need you as a part of my community. No, come we didn't grow up together. No, we don't know each other, but the Holy mm-hmm. Ghost highlighted you and I need you to be a part of my life and be upfront about it. That's another thing. A lot of times it's like, I don't know how to ask and I don't know how to reach out. Just do it because one connection, one relationship can mm-hmm. change your life forever by just saying, hey, you know, I have 7 out of 10. I need 10 out of 10. I need to be taught. I need this help. We have to learn how to cry out for help.
What you're hitting on is hardcore humility. It takes humility to sit down and learn from someone else. It takes humility to sit and learn from someone who is still in, maybe in your same age group. Maybe they seemingly shouldn't have more experience in a particular area. Maybe it was you teaching them in a season and now God is having them teach you. That takes humility, right? I think what you're hitting on is also, it's one of my questions, like what keeps us from truly becoming gracious, that kind of woman or a gracious woman? And I think one of those main things you're already hitting on is a lack of humility, you know, because like nobody wakes up and says, hey, I don't want to be gracious. I don't want to be kind. I just want to live my life unpleasantly. Like nobody wakes up like that. So there has to be indicators or things that are rising up in our heart that are warring against our God nature that we have now have in through Christ Jesus. And so a lack of humility is there. Like you are so nice until you were put in this position. You were so easygoing until God presented this, you know. Sometimes we're at war because what God has chosen for us is not what we would have chosen for ourselves. God, I don't want to go to this church because this church is not as popping as that church across town, you know. Or God, I don't want, you're calling this person to be my friend, but they're not famous or well-known or don't have anything special going on that I can quickly see what I can get from them.
Yeah.
And then you want me to come in this relationship and not only serve, but also receive back and forth, you know? So that lack of graciousness, it always has a root. Like, Christ was meek and lowly in heart. This is who he was. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was a humble person, right? He sat around and he listened to the disciples. You just called it out. He washed feet. Like, we got to have a mindset like, man, no matter who you are, where you are, how you treat me, even if I got to go and pray that thing off because it made me real mad.
Yes.
I would still wash your feet.
Yeah.
If I don't have that disposition, I've missed the whole point. I could be preaching revivals across town. I could be singing, leading worship, you know, at some of the biggest places. I could have the biggest business. Bible says it, if you don't have love, you are nothing more than a clanging cymbal.
Right, right. And while you were speaking, something just came to mind, especially when you are truly active and plowing, when you're in the marketplace and in ministry, and you're a wife, and you have, you know, your mother, right? Yeah. And then you have your own personal aspirations. A lot of times that busyness can project as put offness, I like to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or that busyness can project that I'm busy, I don't have time to be kind. I don't have time to be pleasant. I don't have time to be courteous because I have my 7 days planned out and I need to get these things done. And what the Holy Ghost has been reminding me of is that sometimes you have to over communicate, especially when you are around around people that don't know you yet, right? So for the majority, let's just go with a Sunday morning for an example. For the majority, their morning, for the most part, may start right when they walk through the doors and they have a seat, right? Our morning may start at 4 a.m., right? It may start at 5 a.m. And we have these things that we have to get done. And then we have during the service things that we have to get done. And the Holy Spirit is not, listen, let me. This is what we say a lot. We say this a lot, cliche in the church, you know, and it's a scripture that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God, prophetess, looks at the heart. Yeah. But your undiscerning person can only see what you're presenting. And if you don't communicate grace to them, all they can see is busyness. All they can see is haughtiness. All they can see is I didn't receive a hello. I didn't receive a hug. I didn't get any attention. I'm left on red with the text. I didn't get a meeting, right? And so it's not just God looks at the heart. Discerning sons and daughters can see the heart, right? But if I haven't spoken to one person from 10 to 12, if I haven't said hello, if I haven't hugged a baby, not because I'm mandated to do it, but because I'm conscious that yes, I'm trying to get things done. Yes, I have things that need to be accomplished. But at the end of the day, if I'm not giving you attention, if I'm not connecting with you on a real level, I've missed that time. And it's the same with our husband, and it's the same with our children. They're not only assignments, they are relationships in real life. So a lot of times we over-spiritualize and we're like, you know, my assignment is my husband. Yes, ma'am. Your assignment is your husband. And yes, you have an assignment as a wife and you have an assignment as a mother. But in real time, you have to communicate to him, love, I need you. Love, you're doing a great job. Love, I'm depending on you. Love, I'm here to listen to you. And with longevities of relationships, sometimes we start to not communicate as much. And the thing about it is, a lot of times that we have to purposely say, I'm going to break into my day and I'm going to show my spouse appreciation. I'm going to break into my day every day and show my spouse appreciation and show my children appreciation and show those that are part of ministry with me appreciation, because we cannot be so busy that we forsake our relationships. Jesus
You are teaching
his disciples not just to come in with the and see the healings and the miracles with the crowd. Yeah. But he called them into intimacy. He called them into the mountain. And at first, in my own immaturity, I was like, God, it can't be that every person in my life has a purpose. And the Lord has been showing me every single person that you encounter, the purpose may be huge or the purpose may be small. It may be for a long season or it may be for a short season, but they have purpose, and show grace and show them something about me before you leave their presence.
This is so good. It's blessing me. Jesus. Okay.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, I held the door, show them something that, mm-hmm. that looks like me, and show yeah. them that from a real place, show mm-hmm. them that from the heart. And I'm always the first to talk about prophetess, just mm-hmm. my attitude. I remember, you know, very kind, but the attitude and the perspective, especially like late teens, early 20s, the Lord yeah. really had to check me. And he gave me the opportunity. I'm going to say opportunity to be nice, to be able to have humbling moments to say, you know what? You don't know what you think you know. And you're not as mature as you think you are if you are not transparent enough to allow me to be seen. And Angela, they see you, but at the end of the day, are they left with a seed of me?
You know, that's so real, because some people don't want to hear this because they don't want to feel that kind of pressure. They're not going to read the Bible. They're going to read you.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not saying they won't get to the Bible at some point, but we don't understand, like, you guys, we are actually ambassadors for the, yeah. for the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Like, that's not a nice thing we say to sound powerful, you know, in the midst of, you know, a praise break. No, this is a lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's a lifestyle. So everywhere I go and everything that I do, like, whether they realize it or not, I'm not just representing me or my family name or my bloodline or my career or whatever. I'm representing the kingdom of God. There are literally, true story, I read this in an intercession book. This woman was sharing how she was teaching against the principle of an intercession, how we pray for people like to lose all of their money and for their houses to be burned down because they're not saved or because they not live. Like, people pray some extreme things, I know. And so she said there was a woman, she worked at a local bar in the city, and she refused to give her life to Christ, refused. And one day in conversation, it was asked, well, what is your resistance? She said she didn't like Christians. They're always praying for her bar to get burned down because it's a bar of sin, because people go there to drink. And they don't understand this is this woman's only livelihood. So she won't give God a chance because of how Christians kept acting. I'm not saying that from a perfectionistic view, like you need to make sure you're always on. You're human. We've all had a little road rage. We've all had a moment. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And there's grace for it. But in a general sense, how do I see people? And the woman said in the intercessory book, she said, you could have just prayed for the woman to give her life to Christ and for the building to be donated for the purposes of the kingdom, and that God would give her something that he has for her to be blessed. You just want everybody around her to suffer because they didn't make the decision that you made, when you don't realize if Jesus didn't come into your life when he did, you would have been no better than the position that she was in. And so I think so much of what you're saying, it really boils back down to what are your roots in, you know, when it comes to graciousness and kindness and how we treat people and how we do things. Like, man, as much as they are whoever they are or have the issues, they are people first. And you said it, I can't give you what I'm unwilling to give to myself. Some people are so difficult for them because you don't know how they beat up on themselves in their head. You don't know the lack of grace that they offer themselves. The gospel has not become real in their life. And so I don't even have the capacity to give you what I don't give myself. Yes.
Woo. I want to read this. It says in Ephesians 2, it says verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. I'm about to tell on myself a little bit, prophetess. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the Lord, the word will get me right. And it says, not by works, so that mm-hmm. anyone can boast.
Yeah.
For we are God's handiwork,
mm-hmm.
created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Yeah.
And the Lord just began to, we're actually in a time and a season during these 10 days of awe. And I said, Lord, I am not going to miss another 10 days of awe, because this introspection, you mm-hmm. know, is so healthy for every believer to see what's going on the inside of me. And one mm-hmm. thing we have to remember as believers is that people don't have to qualify in order to receive grace. He said it is a gift. So if you have the faith to receive grace in a situation, it is a gift. And it's not a gift that we can boast in. It's not a gift that comes from us. It's a gift that works through us for the people that we encounter. And I went through this time in my life where I felt like, Lord, I'm not going to give this particular mm-hmm. individual grace because they should know better. And the Holy Spirit really, I mean, he put his finger on my heart and he began to express to me that you, Angela, did not qualify for grace. Whether you knew better or not, you could never qualify for the grace and favor that I've given you. So yeah. even though the person that you are encountering, it was a person that I honored and that I held, I still do honor and held in high esteem, and I still hold them in high esteem. And I said, but I'm not going to give grace in the situation. I'm going to join the cancel culture and I'm going to cut this person off. And the Lord was saying, absolutely not, because the same grace that I've given you, daughter, and the same grace that I'm going to give you to walk with me in intimacy is the same grace that is afforded to what we consider the least and to the greatest. And I'm like, God, teach me to walk graciously the way that you do. We sometimes get a place in our maturity and our walk with him is that, and we think that people have to qualify and they could do the worst things to us. You know, they could anything in the world, but at the end of the day, they don't have to qualify for forgiveness. I don't need an apology to forgive. And you don't have to qualify for grace, because grace is a gift and it is free. So when you see people going through really hard, you know, situations, and life is lifing, how we like to say now, you know, mm-hmm. grace is still available, whether it's the 10th time they face the situation or the 100th time. It is still available for women all walks of life. It's available for the woman that is lost. It's available. We just have to believe. And there's such a simplicity about grace, because if you have the faith to believe that this is a gift, prophetess, that changes everything, because it changes the mind of the woman that grew up with nothing to be able to say, I didn't have anything growing up, but God, I believe you that you've given me the grace to overcome poverty, to overcome promiscuity, to overcome jealousy, to overcome envy, to overcome low self-esteem. It brings that woman that has the mentality, even though I'm singing on the front line and I'm leading people in worship, even though, you know, I'm at the altar and I'm praying for people, even though I'm preaching, it's that woman on the inside that said, I don't have the grace to be a wife. It's as simple as believing, God, I have faith that you have given me the grace and I will grow in grace to be the spouse that you've called me to be. And that's what I want to leave, you know, with women today, that it is according to your faith. When Jesus went about and healed, one thing that he said multiple times, be it unto you according to your faith. And what you see in your mind's eye that comes from the heart of God, God is saying, just ask me, just believe me for the grace to overcome in areas where you've never overcome, the grace to love, which is a big one for me, in areas where you felt like you cannot love. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just so important for us to package that in a way, prophetess, where it's attainable. No, you don't have to go on a 40-day fast to receive grace. No, you don't have to go on a 21-day, you know, fast to receive a gift. He said, I'm trying to get this gift to you so that you can begin to grow and get this gift that is accessible and available as a woman of God. Prophetess, we make it so hard. And we make it too hard to where it's not even approachable anymore. And a lot of times, the things that we present, it's not reality. Because the reality is there are going to be some times where you're going to be sad. I heard someone say, she said, I never grieved over the loss of my child. She said, my child is with the Lord. I did not grieve over the loss of my child. The Holy Spirit, right, took that grief away. Now, that may be her story. I can't be a judge of if that's her story or not. But we can't make that the realistic expectation of everyone. Grief is real. My goodness. Depression is just as real as the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
We're going to go through real battles. And I'll tell you this, walking through cancer twice, being miraculously healed twice.
The first Lord.
My response was different than the second time. The first time it was, it was me trying to be strong. It was me trying to present the word, but not allowing the word to be a part of me and to grow in me. So the second time, I was okay with saying, I'm tired. I'm hurting today. I'm discouraged today. I didn't quit preaching. I didn't quit teaching. But there were times where I had a meeting with the Lord and with myself and said, I did not even grieve the first round of chemo, let alone the grief that I'm enduring right now with this second round. So I want to deal with it. If you're facing grief, it's a real thing. If you're facing heartbreak, it's a real thing. Yes, he is the God that heals us, but there is something that is our soul that we can carry wounds in. Come on. But there's grace for healing too. There's grace for healing too. And I don't want to be a mother or a leader that just presents well. I want to be able to be a mother, a leader, and a wife that can equip those to really be well in here and know that you got value. No, it's not just a Facebook comment that you're beautiful. You are beautiful. You're not just fearfully and wonderfully made. You have purpose. You have value, and you're going to make it through. You don't hear a lot of times truly the transparency on the level that we need, because there are going to be times where your dream is so big and you're like, God, I don't know how this is going to come to pass, but I trust you and I receive the faith to walk in the grace that you've called me to. And I don't want to leave with people thinking, oh, you know, they're two fivefold leaders and they have it together. That's not the reality.
Listen.
We gotta listen to me. We gotta lock arms together. We have to pray together. Listen, it does not take anything away from you to get into intercession. Because we're a body, when the limbs are strengthened, we are strengthened together. That's why I've been making it a point, prophetess, like, tired or not, go support. Go bring in some prayer and some intercession. Bring in a smile.
bring in a gift. You never know. Both people that are doing great things and small things, you never know what grace and kindness. Sometimes, prophetess, I'm in my sweats. I ain't had time to pull anything together. Okay. But I'm there and I'm smiling and I'm cheering and I'm praying and I'm looking for any devil that tries the woman of God, because I want to be the support that I need.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, another definition for grace, as we talk about graciousness, is a divine enablement.
Yeah. Woo. Come on.
And I think we don't understand. One thing I say all the time to members, spiritual daughters, clients, whoever, you can't fix yourself. Okay.
Come on.
I know you feel like you can. I know that the world presents that if you do all of these different things and all of these different steps, you will now finally come out perfect. And you're going to keep going through disappointment, because that's not how it works. And that also is a mindset of, I don't need God. Jesus. My ability. There's been times I should have had an attitude and I didn't. Yes, there's been times I should have said this to you how I wanted to say it. And it came out with so much love because of the power of God on the inside of me. He is my strength. He is my keeper. He is my sustainer. And I love what you talked about, the different trials and tribulations you are going to experience. The Bible does not lie to you and say that you're not going to go through anything. But what it does let you know is that, oh, I have a keeper in the midst of it. So when you should be falling apart and when you should have let all that Jesus and that gracious whatever, whatever go, there comes the glory of the Lord coming out of your mouth, the glory of the Lord coming out of your countenance, the glory of the Lord coming out of your work and your service. Like, there have been things that I have walked through and people just couldn't tell. And I'm like, oh, that's God, because I'm not hiding it. Okay. I'm not hiding it. Okay. I'm almost thinking y'all can see it, because shout out, And what you are seeing is the power of God sustaining me. Yeah. Keeping me, defending me. You know, I talked about this with a client earlier today. Jesus made himself of no reputation, which means he let people think whatever that they wanted to think about him. And he let his heart focus on, I will only do what I see my Father doing. Right. That was scandalous at a time period like that, because his stuff seemed low key demonic, because they didn't have a healthy revelation of what God could do. They didn't have a healthy revelation of sonship. They didn't even have a Holy Spirit yet, you know? And so with all that to be said, it's just like, this is the strength and the power of God. At least this question is probably going to be our last question.
Yes, ma'am.
But does graciousness war against the idea of a woman being powerful or a great leader? What's the best word? I kind of led on to it a little bit in the beginning, because I talked about how in the faith, the meaner you are, the more anointed you are. And so some people feel like, if I really lean into the Lord like this, and I really walk like this, it's going to tear down all that I've built in my reputation as a leader, as a woman of God, as a fivefold officer. I'm going to say something. I've never shared this publicly. But when I first found out that I was called to the office of a prophet, there was a male prophet who had been serving for years at my home church back in Atlanta. And I reached out to him, because naturally when you find out about a FIFO office, you want to learn all about it. You want mentorship, you want help, you want all the things. And so I went to him like, okay, you know, can you give me some advice about being a prophet or whatever? The first thing he said to me, and I'm so glad I rejected this, but he said, well, a prophet truly is a bully.
Wow.
We're just bullies. That's what we are. You know what I mean? And so if you can wrap your head around that, then, you know, you'll be good to go. And I remember that just did not sit right in my spirit. I was like, that doesn't line up with who God is. And this office is supposed to be a reflection of him. But to be honest, the further I've gone and grown and learned and went on and prophesied and preached and X, Y, Z, I'm not saying a lot of prophets believe that. I don't think that. But what I am saying is, again, especially in the Black church and in the Black community, there are these stereotypes that if I let them go and I actually act like Christ, I'm going to forfeit my leadership, my power, and my strength. And not having a perspective of, hey, the anointing is on you and you might be a little bit more firm, but you never get to disrespect his children. But I would love to hear your thoughts.
Whew. This is probably, I can say, my favorite question.
Come on.
Favorite question. So we receive grace in order to walk in power and lead like Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. They work together. I like to call grace and power sisters. Grace okay. is the big sister. And power is the little sister, right? Because power is received by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit came upon those that were in the upper room and they received mm-hmm. power. We have to exercise faith and obedience to God's command to walk in power. I'm coming, I promise. To walk in power and lead in excellence. We utilize faith and obedience together and grace and power together. Grace is not a fruit of the Spirit, but it is a foundation for joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. Just as a tree needs water and sunlight to produce fruit, we need grace to be able to produce fruit.
Yeah.
So grace and power, I'll say this, they're supposed to work together. Grace mm-hmm. should be, before we consider ourselves walking in power, we should consider ourselves growing in grace. Because, mm-hmm. again, the Holy Spirit is a gift.
Yes.
And we have to understand that you can walk in power and you could take one gift and dismiss the other, but you're missing a puzzle piece. Now, yeah. when we talk about the fivefold, right? You gifts and callings, they come without repentance. The Lord gives us specific instructions. Paul teaches Timothy specific instructions on how to walk in character, how to walk in truth. Come on.
Yeah.
But whatever we exercise is what is leading us. For me to walk graciously is actually a strength. We don't see that much, right? Because we see a lot of power preachers, right? Power mm-hmm. preachers in the pulpit, even power women in the conference room, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see that gracious woman when it comes to your marriage relationship, gracious woman when it comes to friendships, gracious woman when it comes time to vacuum the carpet and clean the bathroom and stack the chairs, which I will do because I want to lead by example. It is a power move to not always want to be in the front. It is a power move to teach in the children's ministry. It is a power move to go and serve in areas like Jesus did. Because listen, Paul is great. Elijah is great. Elisha is great. Stephen is great. But our greatest example is Jesus. And like, it's like I hold on, Samantha, to the words that he said and why he said it, because his words are life to me. And I have to keep continuing to remind myself as I'm being transformed and he's my potter and I'm the clay. God, Father God, make me into who you desire for me to be and let mm-hmm. your voice be heard. Let your Spirit be felt. And I don't want to be that woman of God that gets to him on that day. And he says, it's a real thing. Depart from me because I don't know you because you worked iniquity. And what that really means is you did your own thing. Yes, you may have been gifted. Yes, you may have been in a specific office, but you went your own way. You did your own thing. And you did not develop in character. There are no gifts of the Spirit conferences that we see a lot, because gifts of the Spirit, in order for them to be developed, they have to be cultivated. That means Angela has to take responsibility if she wants to grow in joy, if she wants to grow in patience, if she wants to grow in love, if she wants to grow in meekness. Now, as powerful as it is when I give someone a prophetic word, if you truly want to walk in character and walk in intimacy, you are going to have to connect with the Father concerning that word, and there is going to have to be a level of obedience and faith and commitment to see that come to fruition. It's not that I'm a false prophet. It's just that your character is not where it needs to be for you to be able to hold the prophetic decree that's over your life. The books that God has called and has written that are in heaven, they have been written already, but it's up to us if we are going to fulfill them. And a power woman is a woman that walks in character. A power woman is a woman that walks in truth. Now, I'm a woman. I love finance. I get into the conference room and I love the marketplace. I love the entrepreneur and I love that. But what's powerful is when I do business, I'm honest. You know, it may not be that I'm giving my clients scriptures, but I can reflect them in the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to focus on our character. Yes, prophecy, doing the apostolic work, being a sent one, being an apostle, you are sent by the Father. So if you are sent by him, it is a mandate to carry his character, to carry his heart. And so I'm like, Father, please, whether I'm in the workplace, whether I'm in the pulpit, whether I'm holding Prophetess Samantha's baby while she's whatever I'm doing, let that character be developed in me. It's not just the word for 5, 7, 8, 6. It's not just Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. It's not all of this knowledge, which is great. And, you know, amen, praise God. But at the end of the day, when I was rubbed the wrong way, which I believe the Holy Ghost does us a check and allows us to be rubbed the wrong way, how did I respond? And I don't want you to get me wrong. I want to say this. It's very important to create boundaries when it comes to people that are abusive. It's very, very important to guard your heart. Understand?
Yeah.
But I can guard my heart and not be nasty to you. I can guard my heart and say good morning. I can guard my heart and I can give you a high five and a handshake. I can guard my heart and pour you a glass of water. We need that. It's not everything that the Bible discusses around the gifts and around developing character and around fruit. We need those things. We need a sister that's going to give us a call and have a fruit check. Like, all right, what's going on in this particular situation? How are you handling it? Right? We need a person, honorable, of course, but that's bold enough to say, you know what? We need to do a fruit check in that area. We need, it's not just accountable about these tangible, natural things we feel we've built. Great. Build your business. Great. Multiply. Great. Be productive. But at the end of the day, I don't want to be a woman of God by day and zero character at night, because God is holding me accountable for what I say and what I do. And so if it's between me getting the next speaking engagement or me walking in character, it's character every time. If it's
character between me every day,
filling, you know, out a calendar, or me being able to speak to people and be relative in their lives, a first lady is not, or a pastor, right? A woman pastor or apostle or a prophet, you're not there to be a trophy. You are there for relationship. You are there to be an example and to be able to connect. And I think people are so comfortable with committing. Like, I'm just going to be online and I'm going to listen to a service and I don't have a community, because we dropped the ball on really wanting to connect with people.
Yep. They're scared. Yeah. It's scary. It's scary. Yeah. It's scary because it's not that your word was convicting. It's not that what you said didn't call me up higher. That's not even a problem, because you can get that through a live stream. You're still preaching the same sermon that you're watching. It's when I came into your presence, I was beneath you.
Yeah. Jesus.
It's when I came into your presence, you treated me like this. Like, I have a teaching called Learning How to Cut. It's like an intro prophetic type teaching, because it's like, hey, you naturally, as a prophet, as an apostle, carry a sword in your mouth. Yep. You are just talking freely. You don't mean no harm. And you cutting left and right. And you don't mean to. It's an anointing. It's a mantle. It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. So just like a surgeon, they can't go cutting all crazy. You could kill these people or they'll be deeply injured. You have to learn how to cut, right? So I think that's the thing. Like, we keep thinking that the word of the Lord needs help. Like, let me add a little, how you dilute something. Let me dilute it a little bit because it might be a little much, or let me shift it so that, you know, you'll still like me, or let me do a little neck roll so you'll take God seriously when he's speaking to you, you know, all of the different things. And it's just like, no, the word of the Lord is weighty on its own. It doesn't need my help. He asked me to be a vessel. He didn't ask me to intervene. That's two different things. I have to make myself neutral and yield to the Spirit of God. However he wants to do this, it's going to be him. I'm not putting my attitude on it. I'm not going to be mad at you after if you didn't receive the word. Right. If you don't do what I want you to do. So I think it's understanding that, again, it's about y'all. It's about Jesus.
Yes.
I know that's like, well, yeah, I know that. No, really. It's about Jesus, and all of this stuff is not about him. It's about us. And so it's a Lord, I'm yielding every day to the reckoning of the dead of my flesh. I must die every day so that you may live. You know, my ability to not make this about me and to make this about him. And I'm risking not looking or appearing powerful, not looking or appearing anointed. I told the story to our prayer team. I went to a church. I was asked to come and do ministry at this particular church. I had been to the church maybe once or twice. I didn't know too much. I got to the church. We kind of did the ministry moment, and a moment opened up and she wanted me to close out in prayer. Now, most of the time when I'm leading intercession in a public gathering, you know, it's, you know, lace up your boots. It's one of them type of moments, right? It's warfare, right? And so I opened my mouth to pray and the Holy Spirit took me all the way down. And it was this soft, gentle Lord just beginning to laser in on specific things that God wanted to do in that house. And when I opened my eyes after prayer, I could see it on the faces of certain people. That was not what they wanted. That's not even what they're used to. So they didn't like it. So I went home and I'm asking the Lord, okay, Lord, this was different for me, but I submit. What were you doing? And the Lord literally said, oh, I did that on purpose, because what you were going to do, they do all the time. They don't have a gauge that I could possibly be moving differently. And so it was a moment I had to humble myself and say, this is not a moment for me to seem or look powerful. It's a moment for me to submit to the Lord. And guess what? I know you don't like what I did, but I still love you. I'm not going to treat you no different. I'm going to honor your ministry. I'm going to honor you. And that's the end of it. And so I agree just wholeheartedly with everything that you're saying. It's really just, I just feel like graciousness at heart comes from humility. And as people, we don't, it's not popular to preach or to pursue humility, because how do I make sure that I'm seen if I'm being humble? And Jesus wasn't making sure he was seen. Jesus was making sure he carried out the will of the Father. And it points at, man, why are we doing this? What is the real value I'm getting out of being a Christian? Take fivefold office or ministry out of the conversation. As a Christian, as a believer, what are you getting out of it?
Yeah.
If that why is not solid, then that's why I think we need to circle back to.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it. You said it. And I want to just, like, for a couple seconds, touch on performance. A lot of times when you have a background of performance, you tend to get performance confused with actual obedience. And so when your mind is musical, that's how your mind is set up. I was talking to one of my good friends about it. We were talking to each other about areas where we can grow. You can become mechanical, but in that moment, you were sensitive enough to hear, no, I know what I know what's in here. I know that I have the capability for this moment, you know, and, you know, I have the skill, I have the gift, but I hear the voice of the Lord saying, do this particular thing. And when it comes to people that have a very strong performance background and a very strong gifted background when it comes to music, when it comes even to speaking, we have to, in my personal experience, be the most sensitive, because there are many areas where you can go, but the only area we want to go is the area that God wants us to go.
Yes, I love that you're saying this. Yes.
Yes, I can play the song. Yes, I can yell. Yes, we can have an altar call. Yes, yes. All of those things are a part of me. But I want to get in my car and I want to feel his oil on my head. I want the amen of heaven on me every single time I make a move in his name. Because we misrepresent his name when we do what we can do and not what he's requiring of us. And we also have to be careful with thinking it's not enough, because we know what we've done and we know where we've been and we know what we've capable of. No, it is enough. My obedience to my Father is enough. And if I don't get commended and I never heard anything, you know, it's enough. If, because for me, I like elaborate things, right? So my husband has to help me, Samantha, because if I find out it's Prophetess Samantha's birthday, I want it to be elaborate. And it comes from an area in me that the Lord is healing, saying, no, it is enough. You thought about Prophetess. Yes, you want to go to Macy's and you want to get...
I mean, I'm not going to stop you, you know.
Yeah, you want to go to Crumble and then you want to make sure she have a fall jacket and a winter jacket. No, it is enough. Just take the instructions that I'm giving you. Be the blessing that I've called you to be. And I just think, more people need to hear what you just said. No, it's not about my capability. It's about me flowing under his mantle that matters more than anybody else's mantle, what he has to say and what he desires. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's convicting me.
Yeah. It's enough. It's enough. You know, listen, I know for me, growing up in a prayer family, like it has to be 21 days of prayer. It has to be 40 days of prayer. Yep. It has to be 100 days of prayer. No, it has to be what I'm requiring of you. That's what it has to be. So don't complain about being depleted when the reason you're depleted is because you're doing a fleshly or a soul thing and not a spirit thing.
Oh, listen. Yes, you are operating out of the soul. Listen, it's a death to your personal flesh. Not even looking at the people that you're serving, your personal flesh, like coming into the, what you just said, it is enough.
It's enough.
I am enough. That's the root. I am enough in and through Christ Jesus, right? And so if I believe I'm enough in and through him, then that kills that need to perform. I could do all of these things, but should I do all of these things? That has to be the question. And guess what? God is a God of a new thing. So you cannot expect to go everywhere and it's always the same thing, the same way. Listen, anybody that teaches and understands, you done prepped that sermon weeks in advance. You got everything. And then the day of, he changes it on you. That's hard. That is a death to your flesh. You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to rev yourself up and God slows you back on down. It's understand like, man, no, Lord, I surrender my expectations.
Yeah.
Any false expectation I have, God, you got it. I want to do whatever you want to do and then walk away from that thing grateful. God, I thank you that you used me in that moment, even though I had to humble myself.
Yeah.
That moment God created for you to be kind to that person and they literally want, they're sneering at you. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Because as much as that was hard, that gave me something that only being nice to people who are nice to me don't give me.
Right. So good.
Yeah.
So, so good.
We are definitely out of time.
Yes.
But I so enjoyed this. I still feel like we could talk another 30 minutes, but we're not going to do that, y'all. But yes, this was so powerful. I'm going to watch this back so many times. It was so many things you said that I was like, this is healing. This is like a balm happening right now over my heart. Like, this is so good. This is so good. But family, I wanted to give you an opportunity to check out what Apostle Angela has going on. Her and her husband pastor a church called the Heart of God Global Apostolic Center. And the location is 5080 North High Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43215. You guys, join them every Sunday at 3:30 p.m. And I believe that they also post their sermons live on their Facebook page. So her Facebook page is Angela Smith. You will see the same photo that I used in her bio, pretty much same picture. Her and her husband post this, lead this powerful ministry. You guys, I have checked in a few times on their sermons, especially when she's preaching. And I have been so blessed. And so I know you guys are going to be blessed as well. So family, I love you guys. And I will see you next episode. All right, that's it.